The following podcast is brought to you by Pro Wrestling Connect, Australia's newest choice for event management and brand development specializing in pro wrestling.
And now the B Plus Wrestling Podcast. Watch global. Support local. It's the B Plus Wrestling Podcast.
The move.
B plus.
Check it out. Here we go.
You wanna mess with us? Cause we're standing on the ground, standing on the ground.
Hola amigos, welcome to the B Plus Podcast. I'm your host, Big Boy. It's Wednesday, and I really hope you all know what that means by now. It's time for another episode of the King of Sportscast. I'm here for the second week in a row with Super Patreon member Ben Wyatt. The podcast that dives deep into the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Ben, thank you for joining me again this week. How are you doing this week, bro?
I'm doing great. Happy to be talking the end of the G1 here.
Oh, what a crazy end, right? Like usually this podcast, it's very New Japan Pro heavy. We usually cover Ring of Honor, CMLL, Red Pro and that. However, just the last couple of weeks, G1 does this to everyone every year. You go into it previewing, you get excited. The first 2 weeks, you're like, yeah, cool, this is good, but you kind of get in that lull, and then that last weekend just hits you, and you're just like, yeah, now this is why I love New Japan. What a crazy last 5 nights, hey?
Did you manage to keep up to date? Did you watch them live, or what was your experience?
Yeah. The Wednesday and Thursday I didn't watch live. I watched them a little bit later in the night. Unfortunately, cheesy Aussie TV gets in the way of that, but the
I don't even have an antenna connected to my TV, so I don't watch terrestrial TV. It's all like streaming stuff.
No, fair enough. I'm a Survivor fan and Bachelor fan, but we won't talk about it. Anyway, I just want to put friend points with everyone. But the Saturday and Sunday ones I got to watch live. Monday, the final, got to watch live. It was just a weekend that's meant to be the WWE's second biggest weekend of the year. New Japan really stole the headlines, didn't they? Like, holy shit.
Luckily for me, I don't have any interest in WWE, so I didn't have to juggle too much wrestling.
That's good. I still gave the old boys a little bit of a go, but yeah, it's still not good. But anyway, let's jump right into this G1 talk. So last week we sort of touched on where we were at with A and B blocks going into that last 4 nights of regular night. So we'll just do the last 4 nights.
Our B block math was way off, by the way. I think we had it. There was results and A block. I think we said if Evil lose or he's definitely out or something, but then he was still in if he bet Archer at the end or something. I don't know. It gets very complicated, doesn't it? So
it does. All right, well, do you want to run with block A and I'll do block B, or
just the point totals? I don't have all each match result in front of me, but well,
yeah, just a standard system.
Okay, so on block A we had at top Kota Ibushi and Kazuchi Okada on 14 points each, but Ibushi won with the tiebreaker from the final night. And then a huge logjam for, I guess you say, equal third place, all on 8 points here. We've got Bad Luck Fale, Evil, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kenta, Sanada, Zack Sabre Jr., Will Ospreay, all on 8. And then by his lonesome, very bottom is Lance Archer, just with 6 points. So that was 3 wins. Yeah.
What do you think of action on it's really night 15 and 17, so like the final run home of the A block. What did you think of?
I think the final,
some of the matches from the last
so the A block, like the last proper A block night, I think this is my favorite night of the whole tournament. Like the 5 tournament matches I thought were all really good. Even Bad Luck Fale against Sanada, Sanada won with, that wasn't the backside, that was the small package, wasn't it? I mean, that match was pretty decent, and Evil versus Lance Archer was great. Kenta versus Axel was great. Tanahashi and Will Ospreay was very great. And then, of course, the main event, you had Ibushi and Okada. I was definitely the most invested in that one, Kota Ibushi, one of my top two guys, top two wrestlers, full stop. And so I don't know what my favorite, maybe the Ospreay-Tanahashi or the Okada-Ibushi match. I don't know, like, but all five together was the best night of wrestling.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Because Night 15 was okay. We got the Ospreay-Kenta match, which I've wanted to see for a long time. The Kota Ibushi-Zack Sabre Jr. match, which is good. But yeah, like you said, it was the A-block final night. For me, like, all five matches were great. The one that actually stood out for me the most, and it's just because there are nights where I just really love to watch real good grappling, and Zack Sabre Jr. and Kenta was probably my match of the night. That was just...
Yeah, it was great.
Like, yeah, that was just fantastic. Where are you with the final outcome? Obviously, you know, you just said Kota Ibushi is one of your two guys. Obviously, happy with that outcome?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It would be interesting if Okada had won that block and then gone on to win the final. Like, as being the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, who would he pick to face Wrestle Kingdom? And while I'm watching this, I'm thinking, why doesn't he just, like, purposely lose every match? Because then he just get... Why doesn't the champion just get counted out in all these tournament matches? Because then he can save himself. Why does he need to go through all these grueling matches just to be able to pick an opponent?
Especially if you're a heel champion, right? Because, you know, when you're a face champion, no matter what title belt you have, you always want to prove that you're the best. When you're the heel champion, you know, yeah, so... I guess I get that with Okada.
That's something Jay White would do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Jay White or like in years past, like a heel Kenny or a heel Okada in the past. Like, yeah, so very interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of stories coming out of G1, which we'll touch on in the next sort of like segment. But yeah, look, Kota Ibushi, in my opinion, is the right choice. He did sign a lifetime deal, so he's there for life.
Well, the way he wrestles against NATO, you know, life is a, you know, that could be short or it could be long.
Well, yeah, he's
dropping himself on his head.
Yeah, well, that sort of segues us into the next segment in about 20 minutes, right? About 15 minutes, because even if you drop your head, you can still come back in a couple of years' time. Look, I think Block A really was a standout block. Block B was fun, and we'll touch on that in a second. But A Block was just a standout block this year. What can you say? You got Okada, you know, probably one of the top 10, 15 Japanese wrestlers of all time. Kota Ibushi. You got Kenta, probably another top 30 sort of Japanese wrestler of all time. Tanahashi, another top 20 guy. You got Zack Sabre, probably one of the best British wrestlers of all time. It's one of the best blocks I've seen in a long time. And like that logjam of 8 points, like everyone's 4-4 except for Archer and the two tops. So I think it's just crazy.
How do you feel about there being so many people finishing equal with each other?
It just shows.
I don't want to see it happen all the time.
No, I don't want to see it all the time, but it shows how equal the competition is in Japan. I think that shows that, you know, even in Block B, which I'll touch on, there's six more people that were on 8 points. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 13 people all went 4-4 in the G1 this year. Like, it's 4-4, 8 points each. It just shows you how deep the mid to upper card is in Japan. Like, it's in Japan. Like, it just shows that, you know, there is a handful of guys that you can put on top. There's maybe three or four that really deserve that limelight, and obviously Kota Ibushi is one of them. This is going to be fantastic because it's going to be face versus face, but what if they tell the Kenny Okada story but with Kota now? You know, like, do some series of classic matches, because Saturday night was already a classic match. And I think Uncle Mel's
going to be over five on it.
I'm sure it's going to be at least 5.5. For sure. So if you start that trend of Kota and Okada now, they'll be getting 7.5 stars by next bloody Dominion. Like, if you build that series, that rivalry. That'd be fantastic. But
while that match was happening, I thought to myself, Kenny who? It's like, we've lost nothing. No, I was so worried. Like, when Kenny Omega left, and I was like, oh no, it's terrible. What are they going to do without him? He's like having so many awesome matches, but I honestly haven't felt his loss.
No.
You know? And I'm not even going to go out of the way to really watch AEW.
Yeah,
so.
Look, I'm on the other side. I'm excited by the product that AEW is going to put out. Like, I'm just – anytime that there's something a little bit different, I'll latch onto. I'm happy for brand new companies starting up. I don't care if you're WCPW or you're fucking – you know, AEW, whatever, just give it a go. If it works out, it works out. Like, you know, like, I love half the roster that AEW's got. I do love Kenny, but like, I agree, I don't miss him in Japan, and definitely the other boys I don't miss either. Like, I love the Bucks, I'm not gonna lie and say I'm not a Bucks fan, but I don't miss him in Japan. I don't miss Kenny in Japan. I don't miss AJ Styles in Japan, and that's, you know, when he left.
I wasn't watching during that time period, so I haven't really missed out on
the only one that I really that has left over the last 2 years that I really like. Damn, there's a void there. But then again, they brought in a lot of new guys. Is Kushida? Like, I hate seeing cards without Kushida on it. I'm like, ah, God, where's Kushida?
Has he done anything since he's gone to NXT? Like, no, I kind of forgot that he even existed.
No, it's bullshit. Like, why? I know why he went there, because it's. When you're an older Japanese wrestler like Shinsuke and Kushida, they went there for career-ending paychecks. Like,
yeah,
you know. But anyway, let's jump over to Block B. I'll run down the standings of Block B, and yeah, let's touch on the winner here. So yeah, so starting, I'm going to start from the bottom, work my way out. So yeah, so similar to Block A, there's six people tied on 8 points. You got Yano, Ishii, Taichi, Shingo Takagi, Juice Robinson, Jeff Cobb, all on 8 points. So all 4-4. So another, yeah, six competitors there. You got Moxley and Naito, who finished on 10 points each. And Goto. And then you got the winner, Jay White, on 12 points.
So Yano could have won B block if he had two more wins.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he comes last because of tiebreakers and...
Yeah.
Time limits. So Yano is at the bottom of the 8 points.
So Jay White won, and you were hoping for Naito to win, weren't you? To take the whole G1? You're the Naito guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm the Naito guy. Yeah.
So what was your reaction?
I'm glad it was against Jay White. I'm glad, like, he was going to lose, because I like Jay White. I know there's a lot of people there that still, like, we just touched on Kenny. There's still people that just can't handle Jay being the face of Bullet Club. Well, for another 24 hours. The face of Bullet Club instead of Kenny, people still can't handle going from a 7-star bout machine to Jay White, but I love Jay White. So as sucky as it is that Naito didn't win, because I actually had Naito Ibushi as my G1 final at the end.
Yeah, so did I.
Jay White.
Even though I just thought the common sense... What I wanted was Jay White to win, but I picked Naito in my pick-ems. Yeah. And so I said Ibushi was one of my top two wrestlers currently. The other one is Jay White. So when it came to the final, yeah. I was sitting pretty. It's like, it doesn't matter who wins because I win.
Yeah. Look, it was always going to be those two, Kota or Okada on the other side. I didn't see many people outside of that four being in the final. Ibushi, Jay White, the right people, like... Ibushi is still only, what, 30, 31? Am I
getting that right? Oh, no, it's like 36.
36, my apologies, 36. Yeah. But that's still pretty young in Japanese terms. Jay White is literally, I think,
is 27?
He 27?
Oh, he's late 20s, I think.
Yeah. So Kota's 37 and Jay White is 26. Yeah, so 26.
Yeah.
So,
you know, long Jay future White's, still.
A long future. You know, Jay White, yeah. Look, Block B wasn't as – obviously, there were some cool stories in Block B, like Moxley and Shooter and, you know, how good Goto went this time around. Taichi wasn't Ishii didn't end up being too good. He came second last in the Block B, which is crazy. You know, some decent stories, but nowhere near the level of in-ring action that Block A gave us, but
Block B was probably more interesting. Like, just the matchups is like, how on earth is this match going to go? Whereas Block A, you knew that you're going to get some great stuff, and Block B is like, well, let's see, because like Moxley was the big question marks, like how is he going to adjust to, you know, New Japan style? We haven't seen him wrestle in this environment before.
So were there any sort of matchups in the last couple of nights for Block B that you sort of stood out for you?
Well, the final night of Block B, well, I was catching up because my girlfriend was down from Melbourne, so we'd been out to the theater and we'd done stuff for all weekend. So I was watching the Block A final night just as Block B was wrapping up, and it's like, okay, right, I've finally finished that. I'll switch over, and it's like the closing sequence, the last minute of Jay White and Naito, and it's like, oh, fuck, here we go. And then he was like, yes! But I've gone back and I've watched that whole match. I haven't seen anything else from that night. But I really liked the Naito and White match. Thought it was great. And just the promo at the end, it's like, your hero has failed you again. And people leaving the audience. Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Because it's amazing how over Naito is. Like, I remember reading a stat, I think maybe something like a Meltz shared it or something, that Naito is the number one like merch seller in New Japan or something, that he's like the biggest face in Japan. Like,
and there's polls where people like vote at magazines and people that are voting like in Japan, and is like the top, out of, they do like 100 top wrestlers or whatever. Like that include Nakamura and whoever else from different companies, and Naito's always at the top, I think.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Popular, but yeah. No, I don't understand. And, well, I don't understand where New Japan's booking idea is with him, because are they ever going to give him his upcoming?
Speaking of people that want to go to WWE for their, retirement contracts, like Naito, is he ever going to become the top guy in New Japan? Should he just go now and take a huge payday?
Out there that they want Sonata, so Naito might as well go with him. Go.
Oh, I think Sonata still has potential to be a top guy in New Japan, especially like, although I don't know why they'd job him out against bloody Bad Luck Fale after he has that huge win against Okada.
Look, I love Fale. Like, the what he's done to help the Australian scene, I'm not going to say he did it all, but he has helped the Australian scene grow in the last year and a half, 2 years.
I still don't want to see him in the G1, though.
He's better suited as a monster sort of ringside guy, like
the six man tags are fine.
The other match from the final night of Block B, which I do recommend you go back to watch, is Takagi Goto. That was really good. I love that. Just two old school guys, just loved it. That's Block A and Block B. Is there anything from the undercards that you've watched over the G1 that's really stood out to you? Like, obviously, Shooter and Moxley, as they go along, has been telling a cool story.
I haven't been seeing any of the undercard except for the opening night in Dallas. And then I'm glad that one of my friends is like, you need to watch this undercard match from the final, the six man tag with, where Kenta does his thing. If you want to get that shortly. So, there was one undercard match where I actually saw the LA Dojo guys and thought they were pretty good. So looking forward to more from them.
Because I haven't been watching too much of the undercard, but I caught the undercard of the final night of Block B, and it was Kota Ibushi, Hanare, and Honma taking on Kenta and the LA Dojo guys, Clark Connors and Carl Fredericks. They stood out to me big time. And that's a really good segue into the final night. Let's touch on the final night. The LA Dojo is a big reason part of this. So, do you want to talk big story or the actual final match first? What's more important at the moment?
No, we'll build up, I think. So the match was, so we had G.O.D. returning, and who were they with? Bad Luck Fale, was it?
Yes, yeah.
Against Yoshihashi, Tomohiro Ishii, and then their other partner, I'm like, Kenta. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't even put one and one together from earlier in the day. Was it Tama Tonga saying, we just got a new high caliber recruit for Bullet Club. And so, yeah, I didn't realize it was going to be in this. But my friend's like, you know, before you watch the main event, make sure you check this match out. And then so, oh, holy shit, Kenta walks off, doesn't take the hot tag in. Like Kevin Kelly's like, oh, Kenta's about to get in and clean house. But then he dodges the tag and starts walking to the back. And then how did the rest of this segment play out before Shibata, obviously?
Yeah, this is just a really interesting segment. Like I said, this is the weekend where, you know, all eyes are on the big boys in New York doing their fucking, oh, sorry, Canada, doing their big SummerSlam weekend and all the big storylines there, all the blah, blah, blah. And here comes Kenta. Ex Hideo Itami, just stealing the weekend. Kenta,
as if people didn't hate him enough already.
Yeah, I mean, they've been booing him the whole time. And he's not a New Japan guy. He'll never be a New Japan guy. I mean, they said this about the other guy that came back out, which, yeah, that he'd never become a real New Japan guy. But obviously with the reaction, he is. But Kenta is a Noah guy through and through. He'll always be a Misawa Noah guy. Kenta turn on Ishii, well, not really turn, but yeah, I guess turn on Ishii and Yoshihashi, gave the win to...
He hit Ishii World with Club. The go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, hit Ishii with the go to sleep. They brushed off Yoshihashi quite after it.
Yoshihashi kept running. It's like, what are you doing? There's like four other guys in the ring, you tool.
Well, it's better than him running upstairs and stacking in. Giving himself a concussion for 2 months.
Yeah, God, that was funny. Person come running from the back, and like I thought, oh, the huge thing is Kenta's joined Bullet Club, and then see someone run to the back, and I thought, oh, is this just a lion coming out to get beaten up? And then we hit the ring, it's like, fucking hell, it's Shibata. What? Were you watching this? Did you have any of this spoiled for you?
Yep. Nope. So I was sitting there, I was walking and watching at the same time. I was walking and I was like, yeah, like this is really cool. Okay, oh, I was like, oh shit, Kenta's turn. Okay, cool. So I stopped and sat down on this seat, like in the middle of like my local area. I sat there, I was watching. I was like, okay, this is getting interesting. And then, like, you know, when you have to do like a silent sort of mark out moment on your own, you're like, I was really awkward. I was like, fuck, I hope no one's watching me. But I'm like, this is really exciting. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, yeah, like you said, I just thought it was like some young lion or some, I don't know, like some ring guy quickly running in to fix something. I was like, I didn't really think too much of it. Then he comes bloody Shibata, who, you know, even at his age, he still looks 25 anyway. I thought it was a young lion still. And without even blinking an eyelid, like, he knew exactly what happened, obviously, and, you know, goes straight to shit.
And fights off for what, Fale and Tamatonga, I think, as well. And, oh, God, and rips the shirt off, and, you know, he looks like he's being like a full-time wrestler still, you know, still super fit. And
yeah. And I'm like, he's kicking him first. I'm like, you know, kicking the shit out. I'm like, okay, that's okay. And then he went for his big flying, you know, flying kick thing. I'm like, like, what about your neck? What about, just, I was like, please don't die over this. I'm like, what the hell? And then, you know, like, Jado gets him with the cane, and then Bullet Club and Kenta got the leg up over him, and Kenta just sitting on his chest like that, you know, doing the Shibata pose on his chest, and then just all of it, man, just the crowd reaction to Shibata, the crowd anti-reaction to Kenta, this just puts Bullet Club right back on top.
Do you think that Jay White's days is the leader are numbered now? Do you think Kenta could possibly take over?
Well,
or not yet?
Not yet, but I reckon there's a story to tell there over the next 18 months. Like, I know that's a long way, but New Japan do long-term booking.
Yeah,
I could see, what'll be this year? Kingdom 14, Kingdom 15 next year, or 2021. I could see Kenta, Jay White, or something like that happening, but it's just such a huge power play. Like, early in the day, like when Tama made the tweet about, oh yeah, they just signed a high caliber athlete, I'm sitting there with Greg and a couple of my other mates. I'm like, who do you reckon? I'm sitting there going, like, oh, maybe they got Killer Cross, like finally Killer Cross from Lucha Underground and all that. I'm like, Impact, I'm like, oh, maybe finally got Killer Cross because I've always wanted him in Japan. I'm like, he'd be perfect. I'm like, who else could they be getting? I'm like, there's no one else out there I can really think of. And I looked at the card and I actually said to Greg, I said, I could always see Kenta turning. And he's like, nah. I'm like, well, he's in a, like, at the time, because I'm like, he's against Bull Club. He's in a random match tagging with two members from Chaos that Kenta's got no allegiance to. I'm like, And yeah, it happened. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, wow, okay.
Do you think Shibata's actually going to wrestle now? Because we did have Meltzer say on what Wrestler Observer Radio that it's just a one-off angle. But...
yeah. I don't know. Like unless Japan give him full clearance, but I mean, he's the same as Edge, and I know you don't watch WWE much at all.
Yeah, I heard that Edge did a spear at SummerSlam.
Yeah. So, look, you know, are you really retired for life, even with neck injuries? I mean, someone like a Tyson Kidd who, you know, is lucky not to be dead, you know, he can literally never wrestle again. But I don't know, like, I don't know. Obviously, it depends on New Japan. And these days, I mean, maybe 5-10 years ago, they probably would have allowed it. And, you know, knowing Japanese wrestling, someone would have died in the fucking ring. And we would have had everyone would have had a big debate over it and how unsafe Japanese wrestling is. But I think New Japan these days, especially 2019, I don't think they'll allow it. I don't think Harold Major will clear him. But if not, I am a big, big hopeful that they turn this into an LA Dojo sort of stable.
Yeah.
Like
Goto.
Like Goto, Carl Fredericks, Clark Connors, some of the young guys, LA Dojo, a couple of those sort of guys, and really go for it there. But yeah, what a. Like, the only thing I didn't. There's nothing I didn't like about it. The only thing is it took away from the final. Took away from the final, the G1 final, because I'm like, I'm all marked out.
it didn't affect it for me. I'm glad that I saw this bit first, because then I'll be like, what the fuck is Kenta with the Bullet Club when they all came out? And so when they all came out for the final, I'm starting to think, holy shit, is Kenny Omega going to come out and help Ibushi against all these guys? So,
well, rumor has it he was in Japan and he was backstage, but supposedly that's not true, and he was just at a Stardom event, but I reckon he would have been out back there supporting Kota for sure. He's still in good terms. But yeah, let's jump into this final. Brilliant.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey guys, just a reminder, if you want to hear all of these wonderful B+ podcast episodes completely ad-free, make sure you head over to Patreon or Podbean, where we are the featured podcast this week. You can subscribe for as little as $1 a month, up to $10 a month, where anything you want to help us with, it really helps out. It's going to help us grow the site. It's going to help us redesign some things. And everything that we get through this and through the advertising as well is all going straight back into the podcast so that we can get Aussie Graps out there for the rest of the world to hear about, for the rest of the world to see, so we can grow this mission of watch global, support local, and build indie wrestling. So if you want to be a part of that and get some really cool rewards like call-in shows, bonus episodes, ad-free, like I mentioned, then head over to patreon.com/theBplus and subscribe today. Hey everyone, just want to take a second to tell you about one of our new sponsors, Outbreak Nutrition. Outbreak Nutrition are creating supplements for survival, sharper minds, quicker reflexes, all the energy you need to take your performance to the next level, whether that be on the field, in the gym, on the gaming field. That's right, they have specifically designed gaming supplements as well to help you focus on those late night sessions. They even sell coffee, you guys, at Outbreak Nutrition. You can get coffee pods, you can get coffee beans, you can get supplements for the bedroom as well if you want to enhance your performance there. These are performance enhancing supplements for every aspect of your life, specifically designed by gamers for gamers to stay fit and healthy in the gym, to stay sharp and focused on the game, and to dominate in all areas of life. So check out outbreaknutrition.com. And for being a listener of our podcast, they will give you 10% off your order when you enter the code B+. That is B-P-L-U-S at checkout. So make sure if you want to stay on top of your game, if you want to take your performance to the next level, outbreaknutrition.com, enter the code B+ at checkout.
There was the tag match in the semi-main event, just quickly, where Tanahashi and Okada teaming against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. So that likely set up their matches for Royal Quest, which the whole card is there, but we'll talk about that a bit after.
Yeah.
I really liked that tag match. I thought that was great.
Yeah, so do I. Because Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. have a really good combination as a tag team.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they've already been British tag champs. Some of the undercard. And did you notice, I mean, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page here, and I'm really hoping Wikipedia's got this completely wrong, as Wikipedia does, you know, people with dumbass entries. But they got Taguchi Japan booked in 3 different matches, which is what happened. Cobb and Liger are officially Taguchi Japan. They always have kind of been. Juice and Toa and Hari are now officially both Taguchi Japan. They got Taguchi, Makabe, Honma, and Yano all represented under Taguchi Japan. It was like Taguchi Japan and Goto.
Was this at Royal Quest?
Since when did Yano?
Oh, okay. No, I didn't see
the final night. Yeah, they got Yano, Makabe, and Honma representing Taguchi Japan. I'm like, are they out of chaos? Is Yano out of chaos, like, officially now? Like, what the fuck? Like, okay. Yeah, some of the undercard stuff was cool. Tiger Mask was on the card, which I always love seeing Tiger Mask, and Kanemaru was back. That Taiji Ishimori was back. It was good.
They all come back for one night, and then they can have 3 weeks off.
Yeah, well, in Japan. Yeah. In Japan. However.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they're around the place.
But, yeah, this final.
So, Ibushi and White, edge of the seat stuff the whole time.
Yeah.
But I was going to be happy either way. God, I just love watching Jay White wrestle. Like, he's all these little things that you're like, I don't think I've ever seen somebody do that before. And so I can't even imagine, like, in the next 10 years, like, what kind of stuff he's added to his moveset by then.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so young, which is crazy. Like, he's got so much training behind him too. Like, he's done the Ring of Honor stuff. He's done the Farley Dojo stuff. He was discovered and trained by Bloody Devitt, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
He's fantastic. He's one of the best characters in New Japan. Great wrestler. Obviously, when you got guys like Kota Ibushi, who has a neck that just will never break. Like,
yeah. Fingers like, crossed.
If you could build armor out of whatever's armored around Ibushi's neck, like, armies should be looking for that. Like what the fuck?
So, for the match, we had Jay White bring out all of Bullet Club. The whole stable was out there, as far as I can tell. And it's just like, oh, the numbers game here. This is going to be some shenanigans. But Red Shoes sends them all to the back. But Gedo pleads to be able to stay out there with him. And he's okay. So he just stayed at behind the corner post or whatever. But, I must have taken long before Gator got sent to the back. But then, when there's I think there was probably a ref bump in every single Jay White match in the G1. And so, of course, Gator came back out then for shenanigans.
Standard Gator. Like, when has Gator not been involved in a G1 final or Wrestle Kingdom or something that he's always in there doing something, cheap? But outside of that, obviously, yeah, let's touch on it. Kota Ibushi wins it. The right person to win it.
When Jay White hit the Blade Runner, he didn't go for the cover because Ibushi was too close to the ropes, apparently. I was like, fuck. Well, Jay White's going to win it. You know, I was going to be happy either way, but unless Ibushi's the first ever person to kick out, but he didn't go for the cover. Instead, he picked him up to go for, like, the sleeper suplex thing, I think it was. And then Ibushi hit a couple. Well, they were more like V-triggers, weren't they? Like the full-on standing knee strikes, and then there was the Kamigoye to the back of the head. What went into that? Did he get German suplexed? And then Ibushi stood straight up, bounced off the ropes, and just the Bumae to the back of the head. Oh god, it was just all so good.
Oh, so good, man! Like there's nothing else I can say about that match. It's just fantastic. Like I said, the right booking, in my opinion, completely the right booking. So Kota goes to Wrestle Kingdom.
Do you think Wrestle Kingdom, is it going to be Ibushi against Okada? Is there any way that Ibushi loses the briefcase? And does Okada hold it until then? Like, nobody's lost that briefcase before.
No one's ever lost a briefcase. I don't know if anyone's lost the title on the way. I don't know that fact, but you expect it to be Kota Okada. Unless somehow, no. Because who else could take it off Okada? Jay White could take it off him somehow. But
who bet Okada during the G1? Ibushi and Sonata. So we've got that. Sonata has the right to challenge for it.
Yeah.
Don't see him taking the belt though.
No.
There was the press conference today, and Ibushi also mentioned that he intends to defend the briefcase against Evil and Kenta. So those are two matches that we can have by the end of the year. I always thought that there was just like one briefcase defense, even if you lost multiple matches. But I guess Ibushi, he wants to wrestle, so.
Yeah. Obviously he gets through Evil. Not 100% sure that he gets through Kenta.
At this moment, that could happen, yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it. Like you said, it's never happened. And we should touch on, by the way, Kota is the first person to ever win the New Japan Cup, Best of Super Juniors, and G1, the three biggest tournament crowns in New Japan. Mm-hmm. So that's crazy. In all the years, no one's ever won Best of Super Juniors, G1. And New Japan Cup.
Another thing from the press conference today, Ibushi says that he wants to win the heavyweight title on January 4th, so Wrestle Kingdom night one, and he wants to challenge for the Intercontinental title on night two. So do you think he'll do that? And absolute savage attack on Naito, because Naito wants to be the first ever double champion. Ibushi is just going to steal his dream away from him.
Do you know what? Up until the press conference, I keep forgetting that there's two nights.
Really? Okay.
I keep forgetting that there's two nights, and I keep forgetting that they've got a book for both nights. Because I'm like, the main event. But I'm like, well, this year there's two main events. Anyone can, they can do two different main events.
There was talk of Suzuki and Liger, or rumors that they would main event like night two or something. But now, who knows what Suzuki? Yeah. Like John Moxley wants to wrestle against Suzuki, I think.
Oh, if night two doesn't end with Liger in the middle of that ring.
It doesn't have to be the main event, surely. Unless he's challenging for a title, maybe. Win the title and retire on the same night.
He deserves one of the nights. Maybe night one and then night two have the big finale, but he deserves a big, big send-off. I mean, he's fucking King Liger. But, I mean, if Kota goes to the IC, I mean, that depends if Naito holds it all the way through or if someone takes it from Naito on the way through. But because Naito's obviously lost a few. It'd be interesting to see if anyone challenges him for his IC over there.
Well, it won't be Yano. Who else beat him? Moxley. Moxley's already the NEVER champ. Who else beat him at the start?
White could challenge him for it.
I'd prefer if Jay White was like Okada and only title that ever goes for is the heavyweight title. Like Brock Lesnar, he's never been a tag or US or Intercontinental or anything else, just the heavyweight champion.
Yeah, that's true. And then obviously then today, so like over the next couple of weeks, it is going to be a little bit quieter in terms of New Japan action in Japan. The talent will disperse over the next, say, 2 weeks overseas. There are some going to the UK, some going to the US. UK, they've got the Royal Quest Tour with Rev Pro. They're going to do the Super J Cast over in the northeast states of US.
Did you say Super J Cast or Super J Cast? Okay.
Sorry. Super J cast. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. But yeah, no. So yeah, so and a lot of that has been booked now, so it's all in here. Do you want to run down
Royal Quest?
Is coming up on Royal Quest? Because Royal Quest, when New Japan go to Red Pro shows, and it's what's the other name that they usually use? Like War World's of the Collide? Worlds?
Or, no, that's Ring of Honor, isn't it?
World's Collide? Yeah, that was Ring of Honor. Global Wars? Global Wars UK sometimes. They usually, like they send over a decent amount of talent like they did to the Australian tour. They send out over a decent amount, but they're kind of, you know, more of a tour than a big card. This one is a big fucking card, though. Like, this is
all New Japan talent, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, except
for, I'm only just looking at the card for the first time.
Yeah, except for, I know Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, the tag match.
And the tag match, which I'm not too sure where they're at with the tournament at the moment. But, yeah, it's a great card.
Okay, so I'll go through it from the bottom. We've got Red Narita, Shota Umino, and Taguchi versus Shoyo from Rocky Romero. Then we've got Juice Robinson and Kota Ibushi versus Hikuleo and Yujiro Takahashi.
Mm.
That's interesting. Ibushi with Juice. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Robbie Eagles going to the UK, teaming with Will Ospreay for the first time against El Fantasmo and Taiji Ishimori. We've got Sonata and Naito versus Jay White and Chase Owens. Got a lot of bullet club all over this show here.
Yeah.
We've got Guerrillas of Destiny versus the Road to Royal Quest Tag Team Tournament winners. So that's for the tag titles there. Then we've got Never Open Weight Championship match. We've got Tomohiro Ishii versus Kenta. You reckon Kenta could take that one?
Potentially. I think that's very likely, actually. The Never title is actually something perfect for Kenta. It actually represent him very well, actually.
Then we've got the Rev Pro Undisputed British Heavyweight Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. defending against Hiroshi Tanahashi. God, this is what, the third time? I haven't liked any of these matches between these two. There's no good chemistry between them. What do you think?
With
Tana and Zack Sabre Jr.
No.
It was a G1 Supercard, we saw that, and there was a match not long before that as well, I think.
In Japan? New Japan Cup. Was it New Japan Cup or maybe the show beforehand? But the first one I liked. The G1 Supercard, I didn't really. Was it Wrestle Kingdom?
Part of the reason I didn't like the G1 Supercard one because that came straight after that Enzo and Cass thing, and I was so distracted looking online, like, is this real? What just happened? And I couldn't pay attention to the match, and so that was a big part of that.
Yeah. However, I am so excited to see Zack Sabre Jr. back in the UK. His promos backstage have been legit the best thing ever through this G1. His reaction to the Prime Minister being Boris Johnson was the best thing I've ever seen. This is his first show back in the UK since Boris Johnson's in the Prime Minister.
Oh, this could be fun, yeah.
His mouth is going to get him in trouble somehow.
Hopefully New Japan do the filming for this, because those Rev Pro film shows, like, their cameras just look gross and they need to clean them or something. It's just bad quality.
Yeah, Rev Pro is a very interesting promotion. Some of the in-ring action I love. I think they're one of the best Brit Res promotions still, even with how many talent that they've lost to the NXT UK or Progress sort of brands over the last 2 years. But I don't know, their internet action is amazing, but their production quality is still really rough. And it's crazy because they've got such a brilliant roster and brilliant history in that. Like, they've had like AJ Styles and Adam Cole and Ciampa and these sort of guys all be at the top of the card over the last like 4 or 5 years since it's been open, but
they get like Suzuki's over there a lot, and yeah. Ishii's been their champion before as well.
So I'm just sort of doing some quick little research on the fly because that's how well prepared we are here at B+. The two semi-final matches for that tournament is Gabriel Kidd and Jackson versus Kenneth Halfpenny and Bremen White. I don't know who this guy is. On the other side, so Kenneth Halfpenny and Brendan White. Yeah, Sean Jackson. And then the other semi-final is our Aussie Open. So Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis, two ex-PWA guys, taking on the Rascals, who are actually technically Impact talent, Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz. So hopefully it's Aussie Open. I would love to see Aussie Open take on Tama and Tanga. Like, I would love that.
Yeah, I've only ever seen those guys once, and it was like a match against Sonata and Evil, I think, which was just a random thing that they did. And they, you know, New Japan, when their guys have matches in other promotions, they tend to put these matches up on the New Japan World. So I saw it there. But then the main event from Royal Quest is Okada defending the heavyweight title against Minoru Suzuki. So Suzuki, one of my friends did this interesting post on a Facebook page. Don't know if you've heard of it. Classic Japanese wrestling.
I've never looked into it, but I've heard of it, yeah.
So he did this really long post on there about people that how many failed IWGP heavyweight championship matches they've had. And so sitting at, you know, zero titles and eight losing matches for the title is Hirooki Goto. So he's failed the big shot eight times, and Suzuki is standing alone with six in second place, the second worst loser at it. So Suzuki's going to go 0-7 very soon, I think. And then the next jump up is like three failed, never been champion but challenged three times. Wow. Then you got like Cody Rhodes there and just some other random people.
Wow. But,
so,
look, I don't know.
I don't know how Goto have that many attempts.
Yeah, well, Goto was one of the top of the card guys for a while there.
I thought he would have been champion, so I was really surprised to see him there. Because I feel like he's won the G1 a few times and whatever, like the cup. And
yeah.
So I thought he would have been champion at some stage. I was very surprised.
But
so do you want to hit on the Super J Cup now that everybody's been announced?
Yeah, so all 16 have been announced officially. So these are the brackets. So this starts on the 22nd of August. What date is Royal Quest? The 30th. It's the same day as All Out, I think, or the day before. Anyway, so you got Will Ospreay taking on Amazing Red. That's going to be just fantastic. Sho taking on Taiji Ishimori. Clark Connors from the LA Dojo taking on TJ Perkins or TJP. Robbie Eagles goes one-on-one with Phantasmo. So he's got the tag match the week after in the Royal Quest, but he's got Eagles, Phantasmo in round one. That'll be interesting to see if Eagles can get another win over Phantasmo. You got Taguchi taking on Gresham. Yo taking on Dragon Lee. Karistico taking on Bushi. And Rocky Romero taking on Soberano Jr. So I actually talked about it last week. I was like, I wonder if they're going to add another Mexican guy. And I said, probably Soberano Jr. And they would have been there.
So he's been in the best of Super Juniors, whatever the tag one's called, a few times, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's done the last two junior leagues. So the Super Junior tag and then this last best of Super Juniors. He's good. He didn't do this year's best of Super. He did last year's best of Super Juniors. But this is
where's Doki? Come on, get Doki in there.
Yeah.
Doki, who's mysteriously had his profile taken off the New Japan roster.
Yeah. So if you got the brackets in front of you?
Yeah, I've got them.
If you could book what the final is from those brackets, so obviously you can't have Taguchi and Rocky in the final or whatever, or you can't have Ospreay and Robbie as a final.
God, there's a lot of masks on the right side, isn't there?
Yeah.
Four mask wrestlers. I don't know. I feel like, personally, I would want Eagles to go to the final.
Yeah.
Against, I don't know, Yo is on the other side. I'd rather come down to Eagles and Sho, but maybe you could have that as the semi-final. I'd like that. Like, I've never seen Amazing Red, so I feel like he's going to be the sentimental favorite for a lot of people.
But I
like the left side way more than the right side.
Yeah.
I guess Robbie Eagles and Dragon Lee, I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean Bushi is a former junior champion as well, and Rocky's and Jiguchi's a junior legend, but yeah, that side, you got Ospreay, you got Ishimori, Eagles, Phantasmo, TJP. It's a pretty stacked side show. Yeah, I imagine Eagles getting through Phantasmo. That gives them a shot. They'll give him a shot at the British Cruiserweight title if he beats him. Osprey, I imagine Osprey will take Amazing Red. I think Amazing Red's there just for one night, just to be there for a sentimental show. And Ishimori, I think Ishimori goes through. As sucky as that is, I want show to go further. TJP, that means you get TJP and Robbie. And weirdly enough, Robbie and TJP were training together last week, so that's interesting. And on the other side, my whole favorite is I want Chris to go in the final. I am a Caristico mark, big time. I love Caristico, so I don't think he'll... I mean, he should beat Bushi.
Is Caristico a heel?
No.
Because Bushi's the only heel on that side. Because I'm just thinking, because like the semifinal and the final was both on the same night, so I'm thinking, will a heel quickly take advantage of whoever's just had their match or something like that? I don't know how it'll work out.
Caristico can have heel tactics, like he can... He can play both sides, so it would be interesting to see him there. But he's fantastic. He deserves another shot in this world. His run in WWE was just horrible and sad. And
it was a bit funny. It was a bit funny. Come on.
It was.
Dislocates his fingers. I mean, like, no, stop the match, stop the match. Yeah. Botches in his first match as well. Jesus.
I mean, you can say the one thing about that Sin Cara or Caristico is... That's half the reason why they opened up NXT, because Triple H was finding all these guys from around the world, and without even putting him into a WWE ring, they just, hey, go for it. And it's like, maybe we should mold them into WWE guys first down in PC. So something good came out of hiring Caristico. But look, yeah, so it's going to be quiet on the Japan front for the next... 2 weeks.
It comes back on Japan, September 4th is the first regular show back. But when is this? Oh, that's the end of...
The Super J?
Yeah.
Super J.
Oh, yeah, it's the end of August. So it's starts on the 22nd.
Yeah.
Okay. So is this going to actually be on the... No, this is going to be delayed, isn't it? It's on tape.
Oh, Super J should be live. No, Super J will be live.
That's not.
Really? No,
this is going to be on a few days late. Yeah, they announced that. And if you go to the live schedule, the next thing up is like September 4th.
No, that's man, what? That's lying.
So you've got a Super J Cup
thing, like why? Oh, God.
Sorry, okay.
I'm devastated about that because. Oh, I should be like, yeah, that's all right. No, all good. But yeah, look, because Road to Destruction starts.
Isn't there a blue dust thing here? What's that I see?
And Destruction is September 15th, so that's really the next big things anyway in Japan.
Other I thought than Japan World well, had a. It said Blue Justice, didn't it? Where did I see that? Destruction. Oh, no. We've got all these Road to Destruction shows. Okay, I don't know where I saw that before. Blue Justice 9, September 8th.
Road to Destruction, they always do something random and interesting. Last year they did the Super Strong Machine. No, it was Tenzin's Return last year.
Yeah. Just when you go to the New Japan World and thing scroll across the screen on the schedule there, it says it. That live event in SEP has that there.
So nice. 4 of the Road to Destruction, September 8th. They haven't got that on the website as... Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, I love Nagata. That match that he had with Bonza down here in Sydney last year, Jack Bonza. Oh, man. That was brilliant to see. Just you know that deep down in Bonza's, like, Bonza's trying to beat the shit out of him, but deep down inside, Bonza's just, like, fanboying about getting chopped out of the shit by Nagata. Oh, I just realized Robbie's not going to be here for PWA Rumble. Ah, ew. That's sad. Anyway.
Anything else to talk about?
No, that's about it from me. Is there anything that you got?
Nah, well, I'm going to Tasmanian Championship Wrestling this weekend. That's all I've got coming up in the wrestling.
That'd be beautiful. Yeah.
We've got Richie Taylor coming down, so he's a big get for us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I've got a PWA show on Sunday. Mr. Mike Quackenbush from Chikara is down here. He's It's Mike Quackenbush week in New South Wales. He's got the PWA and UE Pro rosters in there, ready to break them up. So
what's your podcast schedule? You're back next week talking your normal Lucha and Ring of Honor, are you?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's going to be a bit more Ring of Honor heavy next week because there's not really anything New Japan talked about.
You'll be able to talk about that fan that was passed out in the front row of Ring of Honor. Did you see that?
I don't blame him. No, yeah, sorry.
Apparently he was drunk and like absolutely smashed off his head. That was funny.
And then I've also heard a rumor today that it was a plant.
It looked like his neck hurt so much. It makes me think, like, whenever I fall asleep on a plane for like 2 seconds and I jar my neck because I try not to fall over.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well,
see that and more great things on the B Plus Facebook page.
Yeah.
That's where I saw it. So got a pimp.
Yeah. And don't forget, all these G1 matches, and that, go rate them on Grapple. Grapple is one of the best rating apps, pro wrestling rating things out there. I love it. That's pretty much it from me. So let's stick in a fork in it. If you want to discuss anything further, King of Sports, New Japan, whatever, Lucha stuff, you can find me at B_BigBoy on Twitter and Instagram. Where can they find you, Mr. Ben White?
Well, if you just want to look at my wrestling Instagram photos, it's mainly wrestling and then a little bit of just whatever I get up to on the weekends. It's just Ben White on Instagram. And on Twitter, I'm at AsiaManiaPod.
Beauty. Yeah, you can see me write random lists on Facebook and Twitter all the time. Always write random lists. Anyway, you can also find us collectively at the B+ Wrestling on Facebook and Instagram, or the B+ Wrestle on Twitter. Give us a like, share, subscribe, and a 5-star review if you like what we do. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.